This is the first Sunday of Advent, and we'll be hearing the Jesus story, his birth story, from the different perspectives of the various people that were involved and witnessed this time. So today's sermon message will be given by Joseph. That's the husband of Mary, who was a virgin when she got married but was pregnant with Jesus. So I will have Deepak. He's going to actually read the scripture to kind of give us the baseline of this story.
The sermon will be based on Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Hear the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
What do you know about me, I wonder? You might know that I am the husband of Mary. I'm guessing that you also think that my occupation is carpentry. True, but in those days, the word meant both a carpenter and a mason, a stone worker. Not stoned worker, a stone worker. What else do you know about me? Yes, a descendant of the King David. I stand in the lineage of the great King David, about whom the scripture prophesied a Messiah will be born from his line. What should you know about me, I wonder? More than anything else, if there's one thing that I need to know about myself, is that I am tzaddik. It's a Hebrew word. Would you repeat after me, tzaddik? I read some of your Bible translations, and some say Joseph was a righteous man. I also read other translations that say Joseph was faithful to the law. Indeed, a tzaddik is someone who is passionate about the law of the Lord, the Torah, the law of Moses. That's right. I think that's right. If there's one thing that I need to know about me as a person, is that I am a tzaddik at the very core of my being. There is a place for the holy scripture of the Lord, the Lord God Almighty. Everything about me, everything that I am and that I do, is a response to that holy Torah, the law of Moses. In fact, every morning I would get up. As long as I could remember, my father used to teach me, son, this is what we say. Shema Israel, Elohim Edu. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Every morning. Scrolls were very expensive, and only the rich and the scribes and some rabbis owned the scrolls of the Holy Scripture. We, poor people like us, we didn't have these scrolls. Looking back, it served us well because we had to memorize the whole five books of the Bible, the first five books, the Torah. Genesis, that was a fun book to memorize. But when we got to Leviticus, that was tough. Memorizing the book of Leviticus, And yet, I did it. My friends did it. Because we're all tzaddik. At the core of our being, the passion that burns brightly in within us is our love, our passion, and our commitment to the law, Torah, God's holy word. I'm looking back on that day. You know, back then, weddings were arranged. Not a bad thing, if you think about it. Because love is though a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. Love is a commitment, right? Love is saying to that person whom you cherish and say, I will honor you, I will serve you, I will remain faithful to you. None other, but only you. You know? Right? And my father spoke very well of Mary's father, who also was a tzaddik. In fact, tzaddik only hang out with other tzaddiks. Of course. We are people of the book, and we only hang out, associate with other people of the book. What's tzaddik? And my dad spoke highly of Mary's father. Son, there's an honorable man. A man whose name's sake is worthy of your association. Because he is tzaddik. I remember the first time I lay my eyes on Mary. Wouldn't think of it. I'm tzaddik. Come on. I remember the day on which we exchanged our commitment. Now, you might think we were engaged. Oh, no. On that day, with my father, Mary's father, and her family, her mom, and myself, in her house, we exchanged our vows. I for thee. Thou for me, and none other. In fact, what you call engagement for us was legally binding. In every aspect of the word, we were a husband and wife. The only thing we did not do was to consummate our wedding, our marriage, physically. You know what I'm talking about? So after we exchanged the vows, I went back home with my father. And for the next year, guess what I did? I prepared a house for my wife. There was a tradition. After I betroth thee, the husband goes off back to his house, to his village, and builds a home. Good thing I was a mason. It came in handy here. And you know, it was a tough go because I would work all day long, and after coming home, in that tiredness, I would go out again and work on the house. I was tired. I was exhausted. And yet I laid one brick at a time with a smile on my face, just thinking of my wife. In 12 months, she'll be coming home and we'll be together. Do you think I was excited? Oh, you betcha. Do you think I was anticipating that day on which I get to bring my wife home? You bet I was anticipating. Excitement, joy, anticipation. And then I received a text from Mary, not one of these, on a tablet. Not one of those, but an actual tablet made of stone. It said, "Dear Joseph, I'll be visiting my cousin Elizabeth in Jerusalem, and I'll be gone for a few months." And I thought that was strange, because I was told by your parents that Mary would visit Elizabeth, her cousin, in the summer months, not now. And I also know that her parents disapprove of her decision because they needed her. And this urge, this desire, all of a sudden, I have to go see my cousin Elizabeth. How strange. Well, nonetheless, she left. She was gone for months, which was the tradition in our day. You don't just go and spend a night and say hi and bye. No, 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 no. This is a hospitable culture. When you go and visit somebody, you stay there for a long time. And I kept working, building on that house of ours. Months had passed, and she came home. And I went to her village to say hi. I was so excited to see her. And I approached her. And the first thing she said was, "Joseph, we have to talk." Now, gentlemen, when your wife says, "We have to talk," what does that mean? Uh-oh, honey, we have to talk. And it only comes from one spouse to the other. Never from the husband to wife. Why is that, I wonder? So I was bewildered, confused. What did I do? What did I say? Nothing. She had been gone for months. I didn't do nothing. I didn't say nothing. So I was really confused. And in our conversation, she said these words, "Joseph, I don't know how to say this to you. And once I say it, you will be furious. And after that feeling of anger and rage, you'll be confused. It's okay, Joseph. I was too." And the more she talked, the more anxious and worried I got. What is she talking about? And then she said these words, "I am pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Good one! Funny there. Funny. But she was serious. I couldn't believe my ears. And she kept defending herself. But listen. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. I remain faithful to you. I am pregnant by the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord came to me. And she said these words, "Mary, you found favor in the sight of the Lord Most High. And you will be with a child." And I said, "How can this be? I'm a virgin. And I'm faithful to my husband, Joseph. How can this be?" I was so, so confused. And the angel said, "You will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit." I'm telling you the truth. Joseph, would you please believe me? Can you imagine what was going through my mind? Can you imagine, if you can, what I was experiencing? How could she do this to me? Did she get raped by the Roman soldier? what happened in the village where Elizabeth lived in Jerusalem. What man touched my wife? Was it consensual? Was she violated? Oh, friends, the hatred, the sense of betrayal. Yes. Yes. So confused, so confused. I left her, went back home. You know, I couldn't sleep. My body was exhausted, tired from the day's labor, and yet I couldn't fall asleep. And when I could fall asleep, I would wake up during the night. One of those nights, I had a bad dream, bad dream. In my dream, Mary was on the ground at the center of the village. And I got to it. My best friend, Jacob, handed me a stone in my hand. And he said, Joseph, you're tzaddik. You be the first to cast the stone. You know what he's talking about? The law says, the Lord God Almighty said in the book of Torah, should a man or a woman caught in an act of adultery, he, she shall be stoned to death. And the accuser will be the first ones to cast the stone. And my best friend Yaakov handed me that stone, and my hand shook. You realize that's what the law required of me. I woke up. And for the rest of the time, you know, I just couldn't sleep, lost my appetite, couldn't eat. It was awful, awful. But I had to decide. Time's ticking. And, you know, she's beginning to show. You know what I mean? And I said, Mary, you must conceal this. Don't tell anyone. This must be kept secret and private. Don't tell anyone. Because Mary, think about it. If people find out, what's going to happen to you? And what's going to happen to me? That's another part. I am tzaddik. I'm a man of honor. If I don't have my namesake, if I am robbed of my honor in terms of tzaddik, that at the core, the most important and precious thing is to obey the holy scripture of the Lord God. The earth may pass away, the heavens may disappear, but the word of the Lord shall last forever. Love the Lord your God. Don't tell anyone. You think I was confused? Yes. But I had to decide. So you know what I decided on? Even though I'm supposed to expose Mary publicly regarding her disgrace, because that's what the law required, and I'm committed to the law, because I am a tzaddik. Without that, I am nothing. I am no one. But I just couldn't, friends, I just couldn't bring that up. I did care for Mary. I didn't believe what she said, but I wanted to somehow protect her from the public disgrace. So I told her, Mary, I'm going to divorce you, but I'm not going to expose you publicly. But I will divorce you quietly. She wept. She wept. As I did. came home that night, I had a strange dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to me, and he said these words, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Easy for you to say. And then he said these words, just like what Mary said. The child living within her womb is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then he said, "You shall name the boy, the son, Yeshua, Jesus," which means he will take away the sins of his own people. Scripture, that's from the book of Psalms, 130. I was familiar with that. And then he also said, the virgin will be with the child, and he'll be called Emmanuel, for God is with us. Another scripture passage from the book of Isaiah, with which I was very familiar. See, for the longest time, we, the descendants of Abraham, we've been waiting for the arrival of the Messiah who will deliver us from the Babylonians, the Messiah who will deliver us from the Roman occupation, the Messiah who will free us, set us free. And the scripture said that Messiah will come from a virgin. You know, I woke up the next morning and I said, "Oh, how about that hummus last night? How about that baba ganoush and falafel? That was something else, because that dream was so, so strange." But I kept thinking, no, it wasn't just a dream. You see, what caught my attention was the fact that the angel kept repeating the scripture. The angel kept reminding me of the Torah. He kept saying, this is what God promised in his word. And you know it, Joseph. You know it. I believe the dream, not because of the angel. I mean, anyone could dream about an angel, right? But I believe the dream because of the scriptures. After all, I am tzaddik. Decision time again. This was even harder than the first decision. If I obey God and take Mary home as my wife, you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? People will say either Joseph violated God's law and had sex with Mary before the consummation, and I'll lose my honor. Okay? Or, because people know about me, they would have said, "Oh, Joseph would not have done. He would not have done that." They're going to point the finger at Mary, that she was unfaithful, and I still take her in. You know what's going to happen to me? My honor, my namesake, my reputation, my character. No longer tzaddik for the rest of my life. Decision time. Do you also realize, as a Mason, as a tzaddik, we only deal with other tzaddiks? I'm going to lose clients. I'm going to lose business. I'll become even poorer. The economical cost, the emotional cost, the communal cost. What's my family going to say to me? What's my father going to say to me? Will he disown me now? Decision time. You know, to this day, it was the toughest thing I ever did, obeying God. And I realize, when you obey God, there's always a cost, isn't there? The cost that we aren't willing to pay, the cost maybe we can't pay, we can't afford to pay, and yet there is the cost. Obedience requires sacrifice. But I decided, to take Mary home as my wife. Tough decision. And even then, you know, can I be honest? I believed the dream, not what the angel said so much, but what the scripture reminded me. And yet, when I look at Mary, I'm just being honest, gentlemen. What if she was unfaithful to me? That thought crossed my mind more than once. I had to fight, combat against that temptation. She was unfaithful to you, Joseph. No. It was a long journey that she and I took to Bethlehem. We had to go and register by the Roman decree in our hometowns. And I, being a descendant of King David, I had to go to Bethlehem. It was a long journey. Oh, poor Mary. She was in her third trimester. She was as big as a house. Every time she turned, she kept knocking things off. And that night, she did give birth. And you know what assured me about my confusion and about my own turmoil and my inner struggles? Even though I believe the scriptures, the Messiah will come out of a virgin. And he'll be called Jesus because he will forgive their sins. I believe all that. At the same time, I was vacillating. Was she unfaithful? God is right. Was she unfaithful? The baby came out. And then to my surprise, we had visitors. All night long. The shepherds came. Saying, hey, we were shepherding the field nearby, and a host of angels appeared, and glory to the highest, and peace on men on whom God's favor rests. And they told us, go to Bethlehem and worship the newborn king. Huh? Then came the Magi, the wise men from Persia, and they brought gifts, all precious, expensive gifts. And they set the gifts before the child, and they worshiped the newborn king. With each visitor, with each homage, with each act of worship, I begin to feel and believe Mary was faithful, that God's word is right. What helped me out of all this was those two references. You will name the Son Jesus because he will forgive their sins. As a tzaddik, I knew this. Joseph, you can't obey God's law fully, can you? And I knew that to be true. What's going to happen to your sins? Who's going to take them away? And who will pay the price? And I kept remembering, Jesus, he will take away people's sins. Well, that was for me. Emmanuel, God with us. And each step of the way, I did experience the presence of the Holy God. Sometimes, more so than other times. But that presence, the nearness of God, Emmanuel, God with us, did help me to come to this place of assurance and certainty that this child is special. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child is the Messiah, and this child will take away the sins of his people. As I depart this place and say goodbye to you, may I just give you one encouragement? Whenever you face trial or hardship, remember Emmanuel, God with us. God will help you, and He will reveal His will to you from the Scripture. Do you know the Bible? If God did give you an encouragement via the Holy Bible, would you recognize it? Because you are familiar with it. Just one warning. When you obey God, He's all good. He's all wise. He's all powerful. And He has what's best for you. But when you obey God, remember, there's a cost. Obedience requires sacrifice. So Emmanuel, God with us, through this newborn king, may He encourage and give you hope. May I offer a prayer for you? Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we worship You as the Creator. We worship You as the Redeemer. The name of Jesus means He takes away our sins. Jesus forgives our sins. O Lord God Almighty, our Sustainer, we pray that the birth and the return of Jesus Christ will remind us of the power of Emmanuel and remind us of the hope that is found in that name, God with us. Thank You. I pray for my friends now. Help them on their journey, Holy Spirit. May my testament and testimony be of comfort and assurance to them as they face their own trial and hardship. In the name of Yeshua, the newborn King, we pray. Amen.